Opening of the Secession War. Attack on Fort Sumter, April 1861. What ran through the land as if by electric nerves and showed itself in stupendous and practical action immediately after the firing on the flag at Fort Sumter, the nation, till then incredulous, flushed in the face, and all its veins fiercely pulsing and pounding, the armed volunteers instantaneously springing up everywhere, the tumultuous processions of the regiments. Was it not grand to have lived in such scenes and days and be absorbed by them and unloosened to them? The news of the attack on Sumter was received in New York City late at night, 13th April, 1861, and was immediately sent out in extras of the newspapers. I had been to the opera in 14th Street that night, and after the performance was walking down Broadway toward 12 o'clock on my way to Brooklyn, when I heard in the distance the loud cries of the newsboys, who came presently tearing and yelling up the street, rushing from side to side even more furiously than usual. I bought an extra and crossed to the Metropolitan Hotel, Niblo's, where the great lamps were still brightly blazing, and, with a small crowd of others who gathered impromptu, read the news, which was evidently authentic. For the benefit of some who had no papers, one of us read the telegram aloud, while all listened silently and attentively. No remark was made by any of the crowd, which had increased to 30 or 40, but all stood a minute or two, I remember, before they dispersed. I can almost see them there now, under the lamps at midnight, again. The National Uprising and Volunteering. The ensuing 3 months, the National Uprising and Volunteering. I have said in another place that the three presidentiads preceding 1861 showed how the weakness and wickedness of rulers are just as eligible here in America under Republican as in Europe under dynastic influences. But what can I say of that prompt and splendid wrestling with secession slavery, the arch enemy personified, the instant he unmistakably showed his face? The volcanic upheaval of the nation after that firing on the flag at Charleston proved for certain something which had been previously in great doubt, and at once substantially settled the question of disunion. In my judgment, it will remain as the grandest and most encouraging spectacle yet vouchsafed in any age, old or new, to political progress and democracy. It was not for what came to the surface merely, though that was important, but what it indicated below, which was of eternal importance. Down in the abysms of New World humanity, there had formed and hardened a primal hardpan of national union will, determined and in the majority, refusing to be tampered with or argued against, confronting all emergencies, and capable at any time of bursting all surface bonds and breaking out like an earthquake. It is indeed the best lesson of the century, or of America, and it is a mighty privilege to have been part of it. Two great spectacles, immortal proofs of democracy unequaled in all the history of the past, are furnished by this war, one at the beginning, the other at its close. Those are the general voluntary armed upheaval and the peaceful and harmonious disbanding of the armies in the summer of 1865. Contemptuous national feeling. Even after the bombardment of Sumter, however, the gravity of the revolt and the power and will of the slave states for a strong and continued military resistance to national authority was not at all realized through the North, except by a few. 9/10 of the people of the free states looked upon the rebellion, as started in South Carolina, from a feeling one half of contempt and the other half composed of anger and incredulity. It was not thought it would be joined in by Virginia, North Carolina, or Georgia. A great and cautious national official predicted that it would blow over in 60 days, and folks generally believed the prediction. I remember talking about it on a Fulton ferryboat with the Brooklyn mayor, who said he only hoped the Southern fire eaters would commit some overt act of resistance, as they would then be at once so effectually squelched we would never hear of secession again. But he was afraid they never would have the pluck to really do anything. I remember, too, that a couple of companies of the 13th Brooklyn, who rendezvoused at the city armory and started thence as 30 days men, were all provided with pieces of rope conspicuously tied to their musket barrels, with which to bring back each man a prisoner from the audacious South, to be led in a noose on our men's early and triumphal return. This was indeed the general feeling, and came to the surface. Still, there was a very strong secession party at the North, as I shall mention in a note further on.